Holy, Lord, holy, holy, Thank you, Lord. What no man can do, you have done for us. We thank you that you came to set us free. Set us free from the limitation of the flesh, that we may truly, in essence, live in the Spirit and by the Spirit, in the authority of the word that you have spoken into our lives. We surrender all to you, and we say yes to your word and to your will. Thank you, Father, that we can celebrate this time of the feast, this feast of your tabernacling with us. Blessed be your holy name. Have your way, O God, in our lives. Be glorified, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to have you here tonight. The Word of God in the book of Philippians, Paul, in the third chapter, talks about his placement as an individual prior to encountering Jesus. So he says in verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Yea, it says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. In essence, everything that I held on to that was important, that people like me were proud of, excited about, when I look at all of that and I see Christ, all of that was loss. It did not compare. It did not carry weight. Yet doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. I count everything as loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. And yesterday we talked about the face of God and being changed into that same image. And part of that was tied to the knowledge of God. So he says here, in essence, I count all things loss for the excellency of beholding who God is. He goes on and says, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. This child of God is our challenge, that our priorities many times are not right. We do not know the importance of who Jesus is. And so we've not come into the fullness of experiencing the God essence. And because we have not come to the place where we saw who he was and is and will always be, material things, titles, natural achievements, our pedigree, what family we came from, how much wealth we have, take so much weight that we do not pursue him. Right this very moment, there are people that should be in the house of the Lord, but for whatever reason, are not there. Why? Because something else is more important. Something else is more needful. I need more rest. I need to make some more money. So I have another job I have to do, and on and on and on and on and on it goes. Because the excellency of knowing Jesus is not there. He says, but I counted everything that I was pursuing after as dung. Why? That I may win Christ. Because every other thing has become a distraction. And tonight, my prayer for you, my prayer for me, my prayer for every one of us is that our priorities become right and that we discard every distraction, no matter how wonderful that distraction is. And no matter where that distraction came from. Because sometimes the distraction may not be the devil. The Bible tells us about the day that Elijah was going to be caught up into the heavens. Here is Elijah, walking with Elijah, and they are in a place called Gilgal. And Elijah says to Elisha, stay here, Gilgal. This is a place of circumcision. This is a place of renewal. Just hang in here. Elisha says, boss, you're the boss. But if there's a time I'm going to disobey you, it's going to be this time. Because I'm going wherever it is you're going. So they come to Bethel. Bethel is a house of God. And Elijah says to Elisha, you stay here. Elisha says, not on your life. I'm not staying here. I'm going with you. So they go on from Bethel, the house of God, the place where Jacob experienced angels ascending and descending. The place where he said, God was here and I did not know it. The place where his forefathers had sacrificed. So I'm not staying here. This is the house of God, but there's more. So he continues with him to Jericho. And at Jericho, there were sons of the prophets there. And they say, don't you know that your boss is going to be dying today? He's going to die today. It's going to be taken away from you today. What are you hanging around him for? Come on over here. Leave that old man alone. Come hang around with us here. We've got this amazing ministry here. There's 50 of us. We're experiencing power. We're the sons of the prophet. Elijah says to them, I know that he's going to die today. But you hush up. Hold your peace. I'm not hanging around with you. I'm going with him. And they come to the Jordan. And here Elijah strikes the water. The waters split. And they walk across on dry land. It seems, if you know the story well, that they're going backwards. Because when they crossed the Jordan, the first city they met was Jericho. So now they're in Jericho and they're crossing the Jordan. They're going backwards. It's like they're going back into the world. And Elijah says to Elisha, "What do you want, man? What do you want?" He says, "I want a double portion of thy spirit. I want a double portion of the spirit that's on you." And Elijah says, "You've asked a very hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken up from thee, it shall be so unto you. But if not, it shall not be so." You want this double portion of my spirit? You got to see me. So there they were. All of a sudden, there's a chariot of fire, horses of fire. And they come in between Elijah and Elisha. So the chariots of fire were closer to Elisha than Elijah was. This is a unique experience. This is a major distraction. But it did not come from the devil. It came from God. It came from God. If you see me being taken up, you can have the power. But guess what? Elijah did not go up by the chariot of fire. He went up by whirlwind. There was a distraction. And what's the point? Even if God is the one that brings the distraction, you and I need to be focused. But how can you be focused if you don't know what you're supposed to be focused on, what you want? Most of us as believers don't know what we want. We think we want more money. What I want is healing. What I want is this, and what I want is that. But really, what you and I really want is the presence of the power of God in our lives. Because in the presence of God in our lives, every other situation is addressed. Hallelujah. We've got to get our priorities right. Praise the Lord. So it says, "I counted everything but loss, dung." What is so important to me that it has become a distraction? From me knowing him as I should. He says, "I counted it all dung that I may win Christ." That I may win Christ. Do we want to win the Lord? What does that word kadenao mean? He says, I want to gain Christ. I want to gain the anointed one and his anointing. I want to gain that. I want to have him completely. Because when I have him completely, or for me to have him completely, I have to see every other thing as unimportant. That's not important. This is not important. What's so important to you? Jesus. I want to know God. And so he says, I want to dump that, win Christ, and be found in him. Be found in him. not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. I want the righteousness which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. I want the righteousness which is of God by faith. The right standing, not based on my works, my actions and my deeds. I'm so good at this. No, I want that grace, that gift of God's righteousness. And I want to receive it by faith. How do I receive it by faith? The word of God says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. It is Christ that lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So what is the point? The point is, I'm giving up everything because he gave up everything for me. If there's any competition, it is that I'm trying to do everything to outdo him who outdid me. Hallelujah. If you didn't get it at that point, if you think I made that up, let me keep on reading and you will see him saying it. He says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained it, I were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. I want to apprehend that. I want to get there. Hallelujah. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. He says, there's one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those which are before. Hallelujah. I'm reaching forth to those things which are ahead of me. I forget those things which are behind. What things are behind, Paul, that you want to forget about? The good things, the bad things, the ugly things, the unsuccessful things, and the successful things. Because there's more to God than I know now. Hallelujah. That is my own personal pursuit also. And that's the pursuit I am calling every one of us to. As we learned yesterday, God is wanting to deal with all of us together. It's not about one person is way over there and the rest are way over there. No. God wants to take us all together. When the rapture takes place, he's not going to just take some people based on which class you are. He's going to take everybody at the same time. Hallelujah. God is calling for a unified people, a united people, a people who are in communion one with each other and with him. The Bible says it's called koinonia, fellowshipping. Hallelujah. It says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's a high calling. And I need to attain on to that high calling. I'm going to press towards that. Will you? Praise the Lord. This afternoon, you know, there's something I've been asking the Lord about for the longest time. For years now, I've been asking him about this. When I'm praying for the saints, I pray not like a priest praying for some people over there. I include myself in it. Lord, do this for us. That kind of prayer. And I keep on saying to the Lord, why do you, you know, you should let me pray like this. You know, I this, I that. Why, you know, why is it we all the time? And so this afternoon, the Lord said, you've been asking me a question about how you pray when you're praying. He said, it is because it's not about you, it's about the body. Amen. You have to be part of the body to carry the body. Hallelujah. These special meetings are slated for one reason primarily: to help us grow and come higher. Getting to know how this works so that we can arrive and arrive together knowing the one that we serve, and knowing that his power is available to us all. Because this coming revival that is coming is not going to come to a handful of people. God is about to sweep the whole earth with his glory. Amen? And somebody needs to know how it's going to happen so that they can teach others. Praise God. Hallelujah. But one of the primary things God is calling us to is that of setting our priorities right. We all grow. When I think about myself, 10, 20 years ago, and I think of myself now, in particular areas, I can see the growth that God has brought about. I can see that I'm capable of doing certain things now that seemed impossible 20 years ago. I could not see that. I could not even think that. That was foreign to me. That's way too much. There's no way I'm going to be able to do that. To the place where I am now, and now boldly saying, God, I'm believing you to be able to do such and such. I'm trusting you to do such and such. How did it happen? God stretching. How many of you know what a rubber band is? You know what a rubber band is? Good. A rubber band, as good as it is useless until it is stretched. Will you agree? Well, if you want to be of use, expect that God is going to stretch you. But he will not stretch you beyond that which you are able to bear. Because if he stretches you past that, you become useless for sure. you break. You're not good anymore. So God knows exactly how much tension to allow. Amen? And he allows that because he knows. The word of God says he will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able to bear, but will provide a way of escape. Amen? So every trial that we go through is meant to bring us to a place where we become formidable by the grace of God to do extraordinary things for his glory and his honor. Praise the Lord. So he says in verse 15, and then I'll move on. He says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect or mature, be thus minded. If you are mature, have this mind. Forget those things which you are behind and press on. There's higher levels. Stop thinking that what you've got is good enough. I don't know how many times I've read this word. And I thought, okay, I think I've milked it as best as possible. There's no way there's anything else in this passage. I got it all. Yikes. One word changes everything. Oh, no. Because there's deeper levels. There are experiences in God that I've not experienced yet. There are experiences in God that you've not experienced yet. And God wants you and I to experience it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God wants you and I to experience things that we cannot explain with the natural mind. A man called Philip is busy ministering. He started as a deacon, just seven tables. And persecution came, and he's out there ministering the word. And there in Samaria, I believe it was. And while he was there, God was moving mightily. He sent word for Peter because he understood order. He understood lines of authority. He called for Peter and says, some things are happening here. You guys need to come. And Peter comes. And sure enough, the move of God is all over the place. And the next thing Philip finds out is God is leading him out. From a major mass crusade, God is taking him to a place where there's nobody. He keeps on following the leading of the Spirit of God. And in the book of Acts, he comes alongside the Ethiopian eunuch. The Ethiopian eunuch is in his chariot and is reading the scriptures, and he doesn't have a clue what he's reading. But God had moved Peter here, or rather Philip here, and he says, do you know what you're reading? The man says, no, clueless. How can I know what I'm reading if nobody teaches me stuff? So Philip comes alongside and ministers to him. Any man comes to salvation, and they come by water, pool of water. The man says, hey, man, you got to baptize me. So he gets baptized. He finishes the baptism. Philip takes one step, and he's in another town. Miles away. Wow. Will that God will do that with us again. I don't have to be looking to buy a nice, sharp, supersonic jet plane. All I need to do is just be obeying God. And where are we going now? Morocco. Ship. Morocco. Hallelujah. Moscow. Oh, yeah, there we go. Will God do that again? I believe so. I believe so. I believe he's going to do it in mass. Using us in this last of the last days to shake up everything that needs to be shaken up. Ordinary men, ordinary women, housewives, plumbers and electricians and whatever it is your profession is, God using ordinary people to do extraordinary things in this last of the last days because of his abiding presence in our lives. Will somebody shout hallelujah? The resurrection life of Jesus Christ is in us. The Word of God tells us so. You and I may be facing death in different areas of our lives, but I bring a word to us today. Jesus, our Lord, said, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will not die. And if you're dead, you'll be resurrected. That's a promise of God. He says, because he said, believest thou this? Do you believe this? That I can do this? Now, yesterday or one of the days, we talked about how we move things into the future. We keep on moving things into the future. Mother says, I know in the last day you're going to do that. But he says, no, no, I'm talking about now, not in the last day. And in a few minutes, you're going to see this manifested. Why didn't they believe? They didn't believe because of the distraction of death. The word that came to them was that their brother Lazarus was not going to die. For Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death. And in any language, this sickness is not unto death means the guy is not going to die. But the guy died. But because we're friends, it's okay. I believe. Yeah, someday when you get better and you're a better prophet that should not be stoned, then maybe that miracle will happen. It's going to happen today. And he comes out and he says, at the gravesite of Lazarus, Jesus begins to give thanks to the Father and says, I know that you always hear me, but because of these guys that are standing by, I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people who stand by, I said it that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Now he cries out, Lazarus, come forth. And the man that was dead came out, still bound hand and foot with grave clothes. His face is bound with a napkin. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Question. The one that raised the man out of death. Didn't he also have the capacity to lose him and let him go? The guy is dead, comes alive. He's hopping out. Didn't Jesus have the power to unravel those napkins and linen, cloth, and whatever else? Why is he saying, loose him and let him go? Because God is calling us to partner with him. God has limited himself to partnering with us. He doesn't need us, but he wants us to be part of the family. He wants us to be part of his hands and his feet. Vessels that he can use in these last days. But we must be wise to know that it is God that is using us and not our own power. It is his power that's working in us and through us. Amen? So I need to position myself so that he can abide in me and work in and through me. It is in him that we live and move and have our being. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. God wants to use my life. Somebody say, Lord, use my life. I am ready to be used of you. Help me walk in victory. Amen. In the book of Acts, chapter 2 and verse 24, it says that it was impossible for death to hold him. Jesus, whom God had raised up, having loosed the pains, the pangs of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. God is saying to us, to you, to me, he's saying to every one of us, it is not possible for death to hold on to you. that wherever it is that you found limitation, that breakthrough anointing, the resurrection life of the living God is flowing through you, and you will break forth and break out and become everything God says you are, everything God says I am. I will fulfill my divine destiny in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. The church of Jesus Christ is not weak. We are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Will you accept that? Praise the Lord. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter begins sharing a powerful word. He says, Simon Peter, a servant, a doulos, a slave, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. Now we find out grace and peace are multiplied through our knowledge of God and of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So if we want peace to increase, if we want grace to increase, because if it is multiplied, then it's increasing. Will you accept that? Okay. Then he says it is going to happen through the knowledge of God. It is the people that know God that are great and do exploits. And you're not going to know God without having an open face experience with Him. We, with an open face, and I encourage everyone, if you were not here last night, to please get the message from last night. Go online, do whatever it is that you need to do. Make certain you go over the message from last night, because it's foundational to this dimension that God is calling us to. He says, through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, according as His divine power had given unto us all things. Somebody say all things. So all things that we need that pertain unto life and godliness has been given to us through the knowledge of Him that had called us to what? Glory and virtue. He's called us to glory and to virtue. Last night we came to understand that the glory of God is the face of God from the book of Exodus. Remember this? And God wants us to behold His face. He says to Moses, you cannot behold my face and live. But to us, He says, in Christ, you have the capacity now to behold the face of God and still live. We are not even in the same class as they were in the Old Testament, but we are getting less results than they got, because we've not continued in faith. We have manufactured our own faith called positive thinking. We have stuck to, it is written, and not stepped into, it is said. As long as Jesus was saying, it is written, to the devil kept on tempting Him. But as soon as He said, it is said, it stopped. We need to step into the saying of the declarations of God. I will declare the decree of the Lord. Hallelujah. I am the Son of God. I am created in His image and His likeness. I am a light being. And where light is, darkness cannot abound. Hallelujah. Nothing is going to stand in my way. The glory of God is going to flow in me and through me, and I will accomplish the divine purposes of God, because the word of God is going to tell us God has made me and you partakers of his divine nature, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these exceeding great and precious promises, that these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. How am I going to become a partaker of the divine nature? By receiving the great and precious promises. What did he say? He said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than this shall you do, because I go to be with the Father. Is that not what he said? Okay, so where's the greater works? Well, we don't have the greater works because we have not truly come to the place where we align ourselves with what he said. He said he's going to be with the Father. Is he with the Father? And guess who else is with the Father? We are in him. But we don't believe that we are in him. We keep on saying, I'm just human. You know, we need to give ourselves a good soap wash of the mouth. Hallelujah. We speak a lot of gibberish nonsense that's not in alignment with the word of God. What stops him from saying, God, I am in you, therefore, because you are risen from the dead, and I'm with you, in you, seated with you, in the heavenlies, I'm not only far above all principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and all spiritual wickedness, I am a partaker by your precious promises of your divine nature. And today I exercise the authority of the living God as one who has the divine nature of God. I say in Jesus' name, be healed. What stops that? Say, what if nothing happens? Say it again. What if nothing happens the second? Say it the third time and the fourth time and the fifth time. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will what? Flee from you. The devil doesn't want you to know that you and I are the chosen of God. He chose us. I am chosen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God came out to the agora, the slave market, and bought me, redeemed me by his precious blood, by his very life. It was the price of God that was paid for me to be saved. The currency of exchange was the currency of God himself. That gives me very special status. Praise God. Hallelujah. And everything needs to be subject to the authority of the word of God. God has made us partakers of his divine nature, whereby giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Not just one, precious promises. That by these promises, ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. So we find out the other reason why we are not operating where we should. We still held by the corruption that is in this world through lust. The loss of the eyes, the loss of the flesh, and the pride of life. says we've got to escape that. How do we escape that? By being diligent and recognizing that when we got saved, we just started, and that there's more to what God wants than me just going to heaven. God wants me to pull heaven down to the earth. Praise the Lord. Heaven on earth. God's will done here in the earth as it is in heaven. I'm going to stop there tonight. And let us just meditate on the word of the Lord. Pray this prayer with me. Father, do something with my life. Help me escape the corruption of this world. I declare that your word is true in my life. Your word says, I was born with an incorruptible seed. It shall be so to me now, according to your word. I am incorruptible. I will not be distracted by the loss of the flesh, by the loss of the eyes, and the pride of life. I have your life, your righteousness. I am holy, because you said in your word, be ye holy, for I'm holy. Lord, you said, let there be light, and there was light. So when you said, be ye holy, I became holy. I am separated unto you. I will never be distracted. My eyes are focused on you, the author and the finisher of my faith. I am blessed and highly favored. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to thank God for every one of you that took time to be here tonight.